So I've already mentioned that we're starting a new theme for Lent, which again is linked to our verse for the year, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I'm calling this new series, Finding Strength in God. And I've asked a few different people to preach in coming weeks to choose an Old Testament character, mainly because we haven't explored the Old Testament for a while. We've been doing some things in the New Testament. And so to choose an Old Testament character and explore how these people found strength in God in the different circumstances of their life and faith. And as we walk through Lent, my hope is that this will help us to consider ways that we might connect with God, that we might find strength in him and courage in him in the situations that we face in our own lives. And so today I'm going to be getting us to think a bit about the life and faith of David. Then in 2 weeks' time, after Community Sunday, we've got Pat Malazzo coming to preach, and she's going to be bringing another character for us to think about. She's in the process of choosing at the moment. And then on the 26th of March, after our Mothering Sunday event, which is the week before that, Esther is going to be preaching on Gideon. And so I think someone said Gideon earlier. I think it was Sarah who shouted out Gideon. And so Esther's going to be speaking a bit about Gideon on that week. So today we're thinking about the life and faith of David. And I chose David because I find him an interesting person who had quite a number of different aspects to his character. So we read first about him as a small, weak shepherd boy, but also a conqueror of giants. He was a musician and he was a warrior. He was a king and he was a friend. He was a husband and a father. He was someone who got it wrong and sinned and committed adultery. He was an intellectual who knew the Jewish scriptures and the history of the people of Israel. And he was a man who wasn't afraid to express his emotions. It's also thought that David was in many ways a pointer to Jesus. Like Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem just about 900 years earlier. As we read in the Gospels that Jesus was also from the ancestral line of David. And so David was an important and significant person in Jewish and Christian history. And many of the songs that we sing and the prayers that we read and our worship life in churches, even the songs that we've sung this morning, have been shaped by the book of Psalms. And the majority of the Psalms were written by David. So this morning I want to take a few different passages about David and consider a few ways that he found strength in God at different points in his life. And I've given a few different people readings. And so we're going to have our first, which is 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13. And I think Tony is going to read that one.
And it's subheaded, Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah.
So the passage we've just read is the first time we hear about David in the Bible. And we find out a few things about him. We find out that he's born in Bethlehem, that he's the youngest son of a man called Jesse, that his role in the family was as a shepherd boy to tend the sheep. We find out that he was a healthy and handsome young man. And when Samuel visits the house of Jesse to anoint a new king of Israel, David wasn't seen as really being a viable option by his dad. He wasn't invited to this sacrifice that was taking place. Instead, he was out in the fields tending the sheep. He only really arrives on the scene when Samuel has exhausted all the other options, has gone through all of the other sons, and asks Jesse whether he has any other sons. At this stage in his life, no one, not even David, knew what was going to happen to him in the future. No one knew that he was going to go on and defeat a Philistine giant called Goliath in battle. No one knew that he would become a warrior and a king. He was just a small, young, insignificant shepherd boy. But his life changes in this one moment. And it's the moment at the end of this passage that Tony's just read when Samuel anoints David with oil. And we read, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." In the Old Testament, anointing with oil was a special blessing reserved for a king, a symbol of being set apart by God for a particular purpose. As I've already said, from this point on, when he receives this anointing, receives God's Spirit, doors begin to open for David. First, he's invited in the rest of this chapter, after the bit that Tony read, to go and play music for King Saul. Saul likes David and begins to spend more time with him, and he's given the role of armor bearer. Then in the next chapter, he arrives at the battlefield dressed as a shepherd and somehow has the courage to volunteer to fight against Goliath. Later in his life, he runs in danger from King Saul, who is threatened by David's growing power as a commander in the army. But eventually, David ends up returning to become king on the death of Saul. And then in the Psalms written by David, we read regularly about physical and spiritual enemies that were out to get him, but how he overcomes these with God as his helper. And all of these events are sparked by this one moment where he's anointed. All this starts when David is anointed by Samuel and filled powerfully and continually by the Spirit of God. And so the first thing I want to pick out about David is that he found strength in his anointing. God gave him the strength and the power and the supernatural resources that he needed to do all that God was calling him to do. And this reminds me in some ways of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the followers of Jesus are gathered together and they're waiting on God. They're waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit in wind and fire, and they go out into Jerusalem and preach the good news of Jesus, and the church begins. But before they receive the Holy Spirit, they're fearful and discouraged and weak. But God's anointing gives them the power they need to fulfill God's calling on their lives, to go into the world and make disciples. In the same way that David is anointed by God through Samuel in this passage, and the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost so they can go and do the things that God was calling them to do, So God also wants to anoint and fill each one of us with his Holy Spirit, to give us the supernatural strength to do the things which he's prepared in advance for us to do. Because God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine by his power at work in us. That's how a small, insignificant shepherd boy became a warrior, a king, and a giant of the faith. And so before my next point, I have a couple of other readings. The first is from 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 37. Who's got that one?
But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair." Struck it and killed it. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you."
Brilliant. And then someone's got a bit of Psalm 105. Is it you, David? Brilliant.
"Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always."
Thank you very much. So my first point was about David finding strength in God's anointing and being filled with the Spirit. Now I want to think a little bit about David finding strength in recalling God's faithfulness to him. We only read a small section of that story from David and Goliath. Sarah was reading that to us just now. I'm sure most of us know the full story. In the bit that we read, King Saul is questioning how a small shepherd boy like David is possibly going to defeat the giant of Goliath, who is this experienced warrior. And in his response, David points to God's faithfulness to him in similar situations that he's faced before in his life. He explains how, as a shepherd, he fought all kinds of wild animals. And he says with faith and conviction that the Lord who rescued him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue him from the hand of the Philistine. And as we know, that's exactly what happens. In many of the Psalms written by David, including the bit that that David's just read to us, he recalls the history of the people of Israel. He remembers the stories of God's interaction with his people. If you carry on reading that psalm, the rest of it, after the bit that David just read to us, it goes on to explain many of the stories that we know from the Old Testament and how God helped his people. It was quite a common practice at the time when David lived to recall stories in songs and in psalms like David is doing. And this was a time when scripture wasn't written down as much as it is now, and a time when not everyone could read. An oral tradition, passing on stories through songs, was really important. And so David puts the stories of God's faithfulness to the people of Israel into song form, and often uses the past actions of God, things that God has done before, to reassure himself in the difficult circumstances that he's facing in his life. Like David, we can also find strength in remembering God's faithfulness to us. What does that look like? It might be looking at Scripture and remembering what God has done throughout history for his people. But it might just be looking back at our own lives and recognizing how God has guided us through hard and difficult times or similar times in the past. I think most of you know that at the moment, Esther and I are trying to sell our house. We're trying to find Esther a job and childcare for the girls and somewhere to live when we move to Bristol. It feels as if there is a lot of stuff that has to come together in a relatively short space of time. And I wouldn't be honest if I said that we haven't been feeling a bit overwhelmed. We have at times. One of the ways that we're finding reassurance is by looking back at our life and seeing how God has been faithful to us in the past, how he's provided jobs for us in the past, places for us to live. Our memories of God's goodness and God's provision and God's protection and faithfulness in the past can be used to bring strength in the situations that we face today. And like David, we can pray these things back to God, saying, God, I recognize your faithfulness to me in the past, and I ask that you would provide all that I need in the present day. And so that's our second point about David, that he found strength in God's faithfulness. And now we've got a reading from 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 4.
After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David and loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt.
So in that short passage, we read another extract from the life of David. In this passage, we read about the relationship between David and Jonathan. So Jonathan was the son of King Saul. We don't fully know the nature of the relationship between David and Jonathan, but we do know that they were close, that they loved each other, that they had a deep connection. You could say a soul friendship. We also read later that Jonathan protected David from his own father's army and helped David to become king. I wanted to pick out this passage because it shows us the strength that we can find when we live out our faith with others who share and understand our own faith and our calling and our purposes. We all need companions and soul friends who get alongside us and encourage us and have our back. This may not seem like a deep spiritual point about finding strength in God, but actually without Jonathan's support, David probably wouldn't have become king and fulfilled all that God had planned for his life. Jonathan helps David by not letting his father, King Saul, defeat him in battle. At times, God places people in our lives to encourage us and support us and help us to be all that God wants us to be. And those people may just be with us for a season of time in our life, or they might be lifelong friends who are always there for us and with us. I've had a few people that I would count as being soul friends to me. I had a mentor in South Wales for a few years who I met up with regularly for a while, and I still see him occasionally now, and I found him to be a real source of support. I've had a spiritual director whilst I've been in Nottingham in my ministry here. I've had I've got a couple of really good mates who I know I can turn to when I need them and whose friendship and encouragement and wisdom I appreciate. I have the friendship and support and love of Esther, and I found also so much support and encouragement being here with all of you at RBC over the past 9 years. And I'm sure when I move to the next stage of my life, there'll be new people that God will lead me to as well, who will support me and who I can offer support to. So God puts people in our path who encourage us to find strength in him. And so have a moment to think, who is a soul friend to you? Who are you? Who's supporting you and encouraging you in your life and faith at the moment? And who are you supporting and encouraging in their life and in their faith? And we're going to have our final reading, which is from Psalm 121, and Anne's going to read it to us.
Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel would neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
I could have really chosen any of the Psalms for this last point, but I chose Psalm 121 because it's one that we often use in our own worship here. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My last point about David is that he finds strength in worship. And his worship of God takes many different forms. In the book of the Psalms, most of which is written by David, we have so many psalms written at different times and points in his life and for different purposes and reasons. One theologian called Walter Brueggemann categorized the psalms in three ways. Psalms of orientation, these are psalms that are praise-focused and where David is expressing his joy and his praise to God. Psalms of disorientation, these are psalms written in the middle of suffering and struggle. One example is Psalm 22, which starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then there are psalms of reorientation, which mark the end to a time of struggle and a refocusing on God and who he is. And by categorizing the psalms in this way, we learn something about David. We learn that he prayed and he worshipped and he praised God in all circumstances and at all times. In times of difficulty and suffering, he came to God with his sadness and his despair and his anger and lament, and didn't hold back in expressing that to God. In good times, he praised God with joy and with music and with dancing. And at other times, he recognized both the struggles of life, but also the faithfulness of God. The Psalms are such a useful tool for worship and prayer, and they have shaped so many of our worship songs because they speak so powerfully into what it means to be human and to live in a relationship with God. And they encourage us to speak to God with the same honesty and openness as David does. So like David, we can find strength and worship, strength in worshiping God in song and in prayer and in whatever other way we might worship God. And we can find strength in him in the good times and the harder times of life. So as I've said, David is a really complex character. And there are so many other aspects of his life that I could have drawn on as well. And I simply just chose four ways that he found strength in God. Strength in God's anointing. Strength in God's faithfulness. Strength in the friends that God put in his path. Strength in worshipping God and expressing his worship and his praise to God in all circumstances of life. And I want to give you three practical things to take away this week that you might do. One might be to write down one time in your life in which you've known God's faithfulness to you. You might want to take a couple of minutes, a quiet moment this week, and remember a time where God's been faithful to you, to thank God for this, and remember that he's just as faithful to you today. You might want to take time to reconnect with a friend. That might be a simple message, or if you've got more time, a phone call or a meeting. It might be that they could support you in something, or you could support and encourage them. And then a third possible thing you might want to do this week is pick a psalm that expresses something of your current situation, your current thoughts and feelings to God, and use that as a starting point for worship and for prayer. And in all this, remember that like David, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Know that you're chosen by God, and with his Spirit at work in you, anything is possible. So let's take a moment to receive God's strength this morning, just as David did in all of these different ways. And I'll invite the band to come back up as we're doing that.